Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
On this week's podcast, I buy something that I probably shouldn't have, and we chat about friendly footy, living below the line, and Kirby Burgess, my friend that I went to high school with, who happens to be in Dirty Dancing, playing baby, drops by as well.
I purchased something on the weekend that perhaps is out of time.
Yeah, okay. Kind of thing.
So, like, so I'm asking other people, what have you bought when it's not appropriate?
Mm-hmm.
So keep that in your text. And use the word old. And then we'll put you in the draw for that prize. I have seen this statue thing, I'm going to call it that.
Statue, okay.
In a really nice store on High Street.
Yeah.
For the past couple of months when okay. I've been going past. I'm like, oh, yep. That's really nice. I would love one of those. Mm-hmm. And then,
I mean, statues generally don't go out of fashion, though.
Well, no, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
And then I saw that the shop was closing down. I was like, great. Well, one, sad.
Yeah.
But two, great, because everything's gonna more be than half price. Mm-hmm. And so I went in there to buy a gift for someone and ended up with something for myself as well. And I was purchasing it and she goes, oh, well, that Christmas tree is going to look great. And I'm like, what? What? Oh, yeah. Do you have somewhere for it? And I was like, well, I guess it could be used at any time of the year. And she said, okay.
You bought a Christmas tree?
Well, yeah, it turns out it's a Christmas tree.
What does it look like?
Okay, well, it doesn't look like a Christmas tree. It's white and it's kind of look. You know what a tree looks like when it doesn't have any leaves in it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Branches?
Okay. So it's like a tree with branches.
I know exactly what it is.
And it lights up.
Yeah.
It's got the lights at the end of it.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous.
Mm.
So it's a Christmas tree.
Yeah, apparently so.
It's a fake tree with lights on it.
Those things are really common wedding decorations now.
And what you're talking about.
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
This is so sad now.
I went to a wedding recently and they were all over. Yeah, they're beautiful though.
I can't have a wedding decoration in my living room. Can you imagine how sad that is?
I thought I was making it better for
that's
you.
That's going to be the saddest Christmas. You're just sitting in a corner going, I'm not married anymore.
God, it's not in my bedroom. Can you imagine if I take someone home and they're just like, oh, got the wedding gifts ready. The wedding decoration already.
I was trying to say they were really pretty.
They are pretty.
They are really pretty.
I guess it's a multitasking if you're using it as a statue as well. And then you just put some tinsel on it when it's Christmas.
But that's what I was thinking.
Yeah,
it's a seasonal tree. I can use it at any time of year.
That
Christmas
lady
in July.
Doesn't know when to sell, how to sell.
Christmas in normal Christmas time.
Christmas in April. Weddings in April.
It may be in autumn. I can put some like brown things in it or something.
Colourful leaves.
Colourful leaves. In spring, I'll put some flowers
green
in it.
Green leaves, yeah. So
I can use it at any time.
Fake snow.
Well, it's already got some fake snow
on it. Oh, that's true. Don't worry. It sounds gorgeous.
Okay. I'm so annoyed that it's a wedding.
A Christmas wedding tree.
Friendly Footy is a new campaign started by one fabulous young woman by the name of Ali Bruce, and she joins us here this morning. Good morning.
Morning.
Hi, guys.
Good morning.
Hey. Welcome, welcome.
Yeah, thank
you. Tell us what Friendly Footy is and why you started it.
All right. So I guess I was watching the news on a Sunday, and there'd been two, homophobic and racial slurs that had been reported to the football.
Yeah.
And I guess I was just sick of hearing it. And I think it's 2015. We live in a culture in Victoria where it's, you know, football is widely celebrated. Mm. I mean, we're getting a public holiday for it in September.
That's a very good point.
Yeah. And I thought, I don't know. I just don't. I guess I don't believe in the fact that the supporters are the ones who are yelling this sort of stuff out. And, you know, these are talented football players. It shouldn't matter what their backgrounds are, you know, any of that sort of stuff. So I guess it was just more about let's raise some awareness and be accountable for our behaviour at the football.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it is. Like, the football is a pretty inciting environment. It does, or any sporting really gets people's passions quite high, similar to traffic. And it's quite road rage. Like, how are you going about sort of bringing in the love, really?
Well, I guess it was just, I mean, what we've started at the moment is just, I mean, the very, like, is very preliminary. It's just with the hashtag is sort of getting people to think about what they are talking, like, yelling out.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm all for, I mean, you know, obviously, like you said, people get excited and they want to yell stuff out. But I think there's a very difference between something that incites an image in your head and something that is just sort of, you know, you idiots. Like, that, there's a difference between that and actually calling someone a name that makes them feel bad. I guess you don't lie in bed and go, oh, everyone called me an idiot today. If it's something, well, I guess you could. But if it's something that's actually sort of hits you at the core of something you can't change as well.
And but it's also the people around you. Like, if people are hearing someone say such homophobic or racist things 100%. And you happen to be same-sex attracted or gender questioning or of a different ethnic background, then it doesn't help. And it doesn't make your experience at the football very nice at all.
No, and you think how many children go to the football? It's meant to be a family game.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was, a friend of mine actually, the night that I started the hashtag, she'd sent me a message saying that there was a boy sitting behind her of about 14 or 15 who just repeatedly for half an hour yelled out spastic. And with his parents sitting right there. And you think, now, no one stopped it. No one's, you know, and it took. So my friend turned around and actually said, can you choose another word?
Yeah.
Just because you think, how many people go to, like, the football's meant to be for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it shouldn't be that you sit there and have to just tolerate language like that.
Yeah.
And I just think, you know, if we can start it at the football, then maybe it will spread into the world and we'll stop.
Well, being, you know.
I
mean, start at the MCG.
Exactly.
Kids pick things up pretty easily. Yeah. I remember going to the footy, you know, as a young tacker, still an avid goer, but abusing the umpires for having Vegemite on their glasses was a very common one. Remember that. That was good. But I play football as well. And at grassroots level, a lot of it does happen on the field as well. Starting it at junior football as well, is that something where you guys are going, is getting into the junior clubs?
Well, a few, and that's been like a lot of our, when we sort of started it, a lot of parents got on board really early. And I think, mothers, and I think that they really saw that that's, you know, I mean, what are we saying that football is then? Is it just for this elite league of what we decide is, you know, Australian? It's, you know, I just think it's pretty disgusting that we can sit back and just let people get, and especially for children, when you think, is, if it's okay at the football, then why is it okay when I'm walking down the street? Just yell
absolutely.
That out. Like, when does it become, you know, how do we say, oh, it's all right there to yell those things out, because you're putting people off, but, you know, then how is that transferable across other platforms?
Well, it's a great little initiative, and all people have to do is just use the hashtag #FriendlyFooty when tweeting something about
footy. We've got, it's on Twitter, it's on Facebook. We're sort of half starting an Instagram, but we it's a lot to keep on board. But
one step at a time.
That's it, baby steps. But
people can see you at the footy as well, handing out brochures.
That's right. We've had a few. We went this weekend. We handed out some flyers.
Yeah.
But yeah, just take them.
Start your own cheer squad as well. I reckon that'd be not a bad one.
Yeah.
They're not known for the nicest comments, the cheer squads. So.
No. Yeah,
that's a good idea.
And I think encourage, sorry, I know we're getting wrapped up, but also encourage from a younger level as well. Like, think about as kids are growing up to teach them now, so when they are older, they know that it's not acceptable behaviour.
That's right.
And also, if anyone wants to help you send out flyers or anything, is there an easy way that they can?
There's a Facebook group.
Yeah.
So just get involved with that, join it, and I'm happy to take any inbox messages.
All right.
And we need as much help as we can, so get on board.
Just go Hawks. That's what I can say.
Well, Ali, thank you so much for coming in this morning.
Thank you.
It's Ali Bruce from hashtag Friendly Footy.
Friendly Footy, great cause. Get behind it, guys.
a campaign run by Oak Tree will be starting.
Yes.
And it is called Live Below the Line. And the CEO of Oak Tree, Chris Wallace, joins us in the studio. Good morning, Chris.
Morning.
Wrong and, Chris.
It's already go. Good morning, Gus.
That was my morning to Chris.
Ah, thank
okay.
you.
Sorry.
Thanks
morning,
for
saying Chris.
That.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming out. Now, Live Below the Line, it is not about limbo.
No, it's not. Although it could be.
It could be.
But
it could be whatever you want. Now, tell us a little bit about the campaign.
Yeah, so Live Below the Line is Australia's largest youth-run anti-poverty campaign. It's run by Oak Tree. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, we're really passionate about it. We think it's got, it's an amazing experience for participants. Mm-hmm. It shows a bit of awareness about the issue of extreme poverty, what mm-hmm. it's like to live with less.
Yeah, so that's the whole mm-hmm. premise is people have to live on less than $2 a day, is that
right?
That's
right. So for 5 days, between 4th and 8th of May, participants live on less than $2 or $2 a day for mm-hmm. food and drink.
Right, okay.
Wow.
So they can still catch a train.
You can still catch a train, yeah. So we did that because the extreme poverty line is about $2 a day in Australian value.
Yeah.
But, you know, we thought if people had to sleep outside, couldn't wear shoes, mm-hmm. no transport, probably wouldn't be a very popular challenge.
No.
So we've made a compromise, and it's a good challenge, but it's possible mm-hmm. to do.
I think it's incredibly difficult. You think, you could try and live in poverty, but $2 a day is such an extreme amount. Is it achievable?
Yeah, good question. Yes, it is achievable.
Yeah.
I've done it. I've lived to tell the tale.
Okay.
But what we recommend is that people do it in communities. So if you've got a share house or whoever you share your house with, that really helps because then you have a bit more money between you.
I guess it's a little bit hard when you're sitting there eating 2-minute noodles and your housemate's having a roast lamb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is very, very difficult. Coffee, another challenge.
Oh, really?
That's actually the first thing I thought of because you're looking at $3.50 to $4 for a coffee.
Oh.
Yeah, that's 2 days. Go on.
Yeah.
You just have to carry around your Instant.
Yeah, well, you can. Yep, we've had people do some crazy things in the past. We had one person, and I do not recommend this, we had one person live off bananas.
Oh.
This was post-banana crisis.
I was going to say, this wasn't the site when the cyclone hit, because that definitely would have been, blowing the budget.
Yep.
Yeah, so could you just buy a loaf of bread?
You could. I mean, a loaf of bread, you can get quite cheap loaves of bread these days.
Mm.
But what we recommend people do is you actually don't have to go hungry to do the campaign.
Okay.
Oats pretty cheap, lentils, rice.
That's true.
You can get some pretty cheap veggies. So it's not about going hungry, but it is about...
Eucalyptus drops.
Eucalyptus drops? you could harvest them yourself, I suppose.
I just remember because, the 40-hour famine,
and people always had eucalyptus.
Barley sugars.
Barley sugars, yeah. But they're not going to keep you full.
No, that's true.
So it's not about going hungry, but it's about...
Yeah, it's about realising just the amount of opportunity we have even with our food just how well we've got it and getting a bit of an insight into what it would be like to actually live on that amount, even for your whole living, not just your food and drink. So we think it's a challenge, but then, 1.1 billion people live on that amount a day. So
yeah, well, that's true.
Gives some perspective.
It's a pretty big community as well that get involved around it. And Australia, you were saying in the off-air, is the leader of this as well.
That's right. So the Live Below the Line's done around the world. Mm-hmm. It started off in Australia. It's an Australian-born campaign with Oak Tree and another organisation. And we have each year about 9,000 participants do the campaign.
Wow.
Which is pretty huge when you think about it. So, if you're walking down the street and you see some people looking a bit less under the weather.
A bit hungry.
4th of 8th of May, maybe that's why. No, it's great fun.
Great. Well, if anyone wants to find out more information, what website can they head to?
livebelowtheline.com.au.
You're comfortably say everybody's a friend of the show.
Yeah. Like legitimately.
Yep.
Christina, your friend was the friendly footy girl.
Yes.
You're friends with the CEO of Oak Tree.
Yep.
And I'm friends with Kirby Burgess, who's playing baby at Dirty Dancing. So welcome to the studio.
Thank you. What an eclectic group of friends we have.
I know, right? Fun fact, Kirby and I used to catch the bus together.
Yep. Oh, Bateman's Bay.
Yep.
Did you guys do the bus stop together?
No.
There's still time.
You never know. We could go back. Welcome. How's Dirty Dancing going?
Brilliantly. Melbourne has welcomed us with open arms. So we're loving it. We've only got 3 weeks left, which is flown by.
Where are you off to next?
Brisbane next.
Ooh, ooh.
Yeah.
Bris Vegas.
A little bit better weather, I think.
Oh, yeah. You're getting out here at the right time.
Yeah.
Have you spent a long time in Melbourne before for any shows?
I spent a year here with Hairspray a few years ago.
Oh.
Yeah.
Fun.
Yeah, I miss it. I miss Melbourne. I do love it. I love the vibe. I love the theatre kind of community we have here. So
yeah. Well, you never know. You might come back for something else.
Yeah, hopefully.
Now, I've got a few friends in the industry that you're in, and I always hear about auditions, and they just sound so daunting.
They sound terrifying.
They're so terrifying. So what was the process like? I mean, you've got the starring role.
You're on buses.
Yeah,
on billboards.
I know. It's very bizarre. Actually, so many people have asked me if that's a cartoon likeness of my face, and I'm like, no, that's just my face.
My real face, thank
yeah.
you.
This audition was quite unique, actually. Usually we'll have 5, 6, 7 callbacks that last over a couple of weeks, and this one lasted over 2 weeks, and I had 2 auditions, and that was
really?
It.
Really?
And I found out a couple of days later, and I was in Perth, so I was flying back and forth for those days on my days off.
Not a great commute.
Had they seen
you? Oh, no, yeah, really easy.
Yeah.
Had they seen you in other things?
I was playing Rizzo in Greece for the same company at the time. So it was quite lucky actually. They finally got to see me in a kind of leading capacity, and then I guess they went, oh, we trust her. And although couldn't get more of a different role, Rizzo to baby. Yeah. But yeah, it's been a nice change.
Were you a big fan of the movie before starring in the show?
Massive fan. I found the video, yes, video, kids, back in my parents' drawer, and I actually thought it was a naughty movie.
So, I always thought it was a naughty movie too.
Yeah.
It was like, well, it's dirty to answer.
Yeah, so. And so of course you watch it when your parents aren't home.
Mm. Yeah.
So I was about 7 when I saw it, and I was obsessed
Impressionable.
With it. And I don't just say that in interviews.
Yeah.
That's actually a true story.
And, well, Jess hasn't seen the thing. And he saw the poster. He's like, why is there a watermelon?
Yeah, that's a common question for people who haven't seen the film. And rightly so. Yeah. Why is there a watermelon?
I always thought the movie was starring Barbara Streisand. And then I figured out it was Ferris Bueller's sister.
Yes, Ferris's
yes.
sister.
Yeah. I think it was what? The schnoz.
Their nose is similar.
Yeah.
Pre-nose job.
Oh, because of the nose.
Yes. Yeah. Do you have to wear a prosthetic for the nose?
No, unfortunately, they were happy with my nose.
Yes. Didn't she go funny. On to get a nose job after that film because they told her it was going to make her like A grade and then it didn't?
I'm not sure about the reason, but she definitely did.
Mm.
Yeah. She actually, I read an interview with her about her daughter watching the film for the first time, watching Dirty Dancing. And her daughter started crying, and she said that she just turned to her mum and said, she said, you're so beautiful. You look so different. You're so beautiful. Not that you're not beautiful now, obviously. Yeah, yeah. But, she had to explain to her daughter why she had a nose job. Mm. And, it would have been very interesting because she didn't do many major films after
that.
What happened to her?
Somebody put her in the corner.
That's what I heard. Like, I heard that she got the nose job and then I read it and then her career didn't go the way. Like, everyone was hiring her because she looked a bit different and then she got this and then it didn't.
Yeah. She's a brilliant actress and, I mean, I'm sure there's all different reasons why she didn't
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.